The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Good morning, First Baptist Manny. It is good to be back here with you this morning. Let me invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to the Old Testament book, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, and we'll be there in just a moment. You know, I think as parents and grandparents, one of the joys, maybe the privileges that you and I get to experience is to take our children and maybe our grandchildren on trips. And sometimes it might be a short one-day trip, or at other times it might be a extended trip, maybe for a vacation, maybe for 7 days or maybe even 10 days, maybe even longer. When my wife Diane and I moved to Louisiana now over 20 years ago, we would take trips back to Oklahoma where we were from. And depending on which part of the family that we were going to visit, it might take 10 hours, it might take 14 hours. But we would, as a dad, I would have a plan, right? I would have a departure time. I would have a route. I would have the itinerary all scheduled out. And so when we would get up on the day that we were to leave, I expected all of my children, even at a young age, to jump out of bed, to have their suitcases packed, to have them at the door. I would load the van, and man, we would be down the road on time every time. Yeah, I would be foolish to say that that plan, that dad's plan, worked every time. But sometime along the route, my children, we would leave early sometimes and they would be asleep, but then they would wake up and they would ask this question: are we there yet? Are we there yet? And it just seemed to be every trip, every time, every child at some time was asking that question: Dad, are we there yet? Well, I developed an answer, and my answer would be, we're going to be there in 15 minutes. It didn't matter if it was 15 minutes or if it was longer. I just simply wanted to share with them that we'll be there in 15 minutes. And even at some ages, they couldn't understand. They didn't know how to tell time, so it really didn't make a whole lot of differences. You know, those experiences have reminded me that it gave me an opportunity to learn and to teach patience. And I really believe one of the things that a good parent will teach their children is how to be patient. Because by nature, children want things first. And children want things fast. We also see adults acting the same way, though, don't we? We see impatience demonstrated when we're driving. We get behind somebody when they're doing the speed limit, and we think, oh my goodness, would you hurry up? We go to a shopping place, and they've got 20 checkout lanes, and two of them are open. And we think, when in the world am I ever going to get out of here? We go to a restaurant, and a family comes in after us, and they get their food before we do. And over and over and over, all of us become impatient at some time or another. Well, returning here to First Baptist Manny to preach this morning, I want to share with you what I want to call my pre-sermon, but I want to share with you four truths about this transition period that you're going through. So again, this is not my sermon, but I just want to make four points here, and then I want to share with you a spiritual lesson. The first truth is this: just because your pastor left now over 3 years ago doesn't mean that God has left. Listen to me, church. Too many times you and I, as members in a church, equate too much of the pastor with God's presence. Now, there are some things that we can talk about in that regard, but I just want to remind you here this morning that just because your pastor left doesn't mean that God left. But here's a second thing I think is important for us to be reminded about. This transition from one pastor to another is for a good purpose. That God is using this time to change you, to grow you, to develop you, and to bring you together as one body of Christ. Number three, God will send you your next pastor when you are ready. That's again why it's important for us to understand how God's timing is always perfect. I don't completely understand all of this. I too get impatient. But God's timing is perfect, and whatever God is doing in your life, whatever God is doing in the life of this church, is for this purpose, it is for this time, and when God completes that, then you will be ready for your next shepherd. And then number four, I believe that you are in good hands. You are in good hands with your interim pastor. You are in good hands with the leadership and the pastor search committee. So you continue to move forward with all of those things. So that's the pre-sermon. Let me get to the sermon. Here is the spiritual lesson. This is where we're going to go from here this morning. What you and I consider to be major detours or inconvenience and even a loss of time, God means for it to teach us one of life's greatest spiritual lessons. And here it is. For God, the long way may just be the best way. Here is the spiritual truth. Here is the lesson that I want us all to receive this morning. That for God, the long way may just be the best way. I want to show you that in Scripture here. Exodus chapter 13. You just remain seated. But I'm going to begin reading down in verse 17. Exodus 13, verse number 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearby. For God said, the people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war. So he led the people around toward the Red Sea along the road of the wilderness, and the Israelites left the land of Egypt in battle formation. Now move down to verse 21. Verse 21. The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and in a pillar of fire to guide, to give them light at night, so that they could travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people. God, how I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the promise that you will always be with your people. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our master teacher. Father, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, oh God, I pray that they would be acceptable in your sight. Father, use this message to speak truth into our hearts, into our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of us, I'm sure, when we think about the book of Exodus, immediately began to think about the Israelites leaving Egypt and making their journey into the promised land. But we know also that the book of Exodus is full of other events, full of other details. I mean, going all the way back to the birth of Moses, how God used that experience with him. He was placed in a basket, put in the Nile River, and the Pharaoh's daughter rescued him out. And that as God used to began to use him as a shepherd out in the wilderness, using him to transform his life, to develop him into a leader, that God would call him to lead that great group of people, that mass group of people, out of their bondage, out of their slavery, and to journey them into the promised land. But you and I, again, know that there were much other things that took place. As they were wandering around in the wilderness, they became impatient. They wanted to build their own idol. And so they built that golden calf and they began to worship it. We know also that the Pharaoh began to chase after the Israelites, and God used Moses to be able to divide the Red Sea. And the Bible says that the Israelites traveled through the bottom of that sea on dry land and reached the other side. And again, over and over, there are other details, other events that take place in the book of Exodus that we begin to think about when we look into this book. And what I've discovered, at least in my own heart, and I don't believe that I'm alone on this, is that we remember all of those details. We remember all of those situations. We remember all of those circumstances. But at times, we fail to remember or we forget this one major dynamic. And that is this. All of those facts, all of those details, all of those events were laid out in a span of 40 plus years. The observation is this. We are quick to remember the events of Exodus, but sometimes we fail to put them in a 40-year perspective. That from the time in which God used Moses and Joshua to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage and slavery to a land which they would be free both physically and spiritually, do we purposely remember that it took them 40 years to get there? And even in the midst of the good in Exodus that we read about, and how God led the people and God was there with them, Scripture also records other dynamics as well. Over those 40 years, Moses dealt with an angry, sometimes riotous group of Israelites, a very, very impatient group of people. They didn't like how long that it was taken. They didn't like the water they drank. They didn't like how Moses talked to them. They didn't like being free. In fact, they would have rather stayed in Egypt as slaves rather than spend that time wandering around in the wilderness. They were impatient and they complained about many things for 40 years. Now, I had to say all of that to say what I'm going to say next. Yet during those 40 years, God was there every step of their feet, every drop of water on their tongues, every measure or crumb of manna in their stomachs, for every ray of light, For every baby that was born, for every person that died, and for every defeated enemy, God was there. One of the responsibilities or joys really that I have is to travel our state and to meet with churches who are without pastors. And on occasion I get to train the pastor search committee and I share with them. I said, prepare yourself in the absence of your pastor for a wilderness journey. Now again, some of them look at me and think, oh my goodness, this is going to take 40 years? No, it's not going to take 40 years, and I want to assure you as well that I don't believe it's going to take 40 years here either. And I want to encourage them that they should not grow weary in doing good. Stay in pursuit for all that the Lord has for them. And today, I want to proclaim to each of you that this transition time can be the best time if you pray together, if you stay together, if you plan together, and if you work together. The reality is, though, it's now been 3.5 years since your pastor resigned and left. The reality is, some are asking, are we there yet? And the reality is, some may even ask, why hasn't that pastor search committee found our next pastor? My personal response is that this time has been necessary for praying, for healing, for planning, and for uniting. But my biblical answer, and more importantly, is sometimes for God, the long way is the best way. And so here is a biblical promise. Here is the spiritual lesson that we learn from the group of Israelites. Now, I only have one point this morning, so you can stop your clock. I've only got one point, and this is it. God always leads His people. If the only thing that you hear from me this morning, it would be that. God is faithful, and therefore, God always leads His people. And sometimes He will lead them through a storm, and sometimes He will lead them around a storm. So let's again look at the Israelites here. If you have a Bible that has a section called the maps, turn back there if you would. Most of them are in the back of your Bible. And look for a map that may refer to the Exodus, or the route of the Exodus the Israelites took, leaving Egypt and going into the Promised Land. And you may notice right away, and you've probably heard this before as well, that not all scholars agree on the date or the time or the route that the Israelites made leaving Egypt. In fact, my Bible indicates that by saying there was a northern route, possible northern route, or a central route, or an alternate central route, or a southern route. So again, not all scholars, not all preachers, not all theologians agree that there was one specific route that the Israelites took when they left Egypt and they went into the Promised Land. Some would say it was around 1440 B.C., and others would say it was around 1250 B.C. And again, the map seems to indicate here that there was a possibility of many different routes. So again, we just accept that. But here's one truth that I know in all of my heart. Nothing is ever debated. Nothing is ever questioned in the fact Did God ever leave his people? Did God ever break his promise toward the people of bringing them out of Egypt, bondage and slavery, and putting them in a land that he promised that would be flowing with milk and honey? Did God ever break that covenant? See, no one ever questions that because God didn't abandon his people. God was always, always, always with them. My main verses here this morning are out of Exodus 13, verses 17 and 18, 21 and 22, and especially verse 22, where it says, "The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people." Now, here's something that's, I believe, important for us to understand. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night is what theologians refer to as a theophany. A theophany is the presence or the manifestation of God in some kind of a natural act. And so even with the Red Sea, when God separated, when God divided the Red Sea, that was a theophany moment. God revealed himself to Moses and the people by dividing that Red Sea. Here we see that God is manifested. He is revealing himself by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. And so verse 22 seems to, for me, just kind of lay the foundation. And when we open up chapter 14, we see further evidence of how God was with his people. Just a few of them. In chapter 14, verse 2, God tells the Israelites to turn back. In chapter 14, verse 15, God tells the Israelites to break camp. They are to move forward. They are to go forward. Also in chapter 16, they are to go through the sea on dry ground. And then we see down here in verse 19 that the angel of God, who was going in front of the Israelite forces, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from the front, moved from in front of them and stood behind them. It came between the Egyptian and Israelite forces. There was cloud and darkness. It lit up the night, and neither group came near the other all night long. Over and over, we can trace, we can see the movement of the Israelites. And over, we can also recognize how God was with the people, how God was leading the people, how he was involved in their lives every day. Every day, God was before them, or he was behind them, or he was beside them, or he was between them, but he was always with them. You know, the whole irony of the Exodus account, from the time that the Israelites left Egypt and entered into the Promised Land, the whole irony, it took them 40 years, where some have estimated that it should have only taken them a few months. About 250 miles. Almost the distance between here and New Orleans. I'm not ignoring Exodus 13, Exodus 14. I'm not ignoring their disobedience. I'm not ignoring God's judgment for making them wander in the wilderness. But I'm trying really hard to highlight the mercy and the patience and the presence of God. That God has always promised to be with his people. Even during their times of disbelief, even during their times of disobedience, and even during their times of impatience. If this story isn't enough, go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read about the creation and read about the birth, the genesis of sin coming into our world due to the disobedience of the first creation of man and woman. How Adam and Eve, both of them, disobeyed God. And yet, God remained with them. That God's mercy, that God's patience, and God's presence stayed with them. And then you read the story up to Genesis chapter 7, where we read about a man named Noah, where God used Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives to take the two of all kinds of animals and enter into a large boat. And you see again the mercy and the patience and the presence of God. And then you come over to Genesis chapter 12. And we're introduced to a man named Abram, who God later changed his name to Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, we read about a covenant that God made with those people at that time. But he also, through the reading of that chapter, shows us that covenant, that promise, is for all the generations that will come after, including our generations. Over and over and over, God's mercy, God's patience, God's presence, life lesson 1A. God always leads his people. Life lesson 1B. Sometimes God leads us through the storm, and sometimes God leads us around the storm. There's no question here in the text that I have read that the Israelites faced both during their journey and the promised land, but here God moved them around a storm. And the reason is this: God knew their weaknesses. God knew their breaking points. God knew their forgetfulness. Now, we might not easily admit it, but we are a lot like the Israelites. We are much like the people who wandered around in the wilderness trying to follow God. We too are weak. We too are impatient and forgetful. We bend a little when there is no shepherd. We want a new pastor this week, and we forget how the Lord has sustained us personally and corporately through the years. Our perspective becomes blurred. And today, I want to remind all of us that this storm, this transition period, has a reason. It has a purpose, and it will pass. One of the interesting verses that I find in the book of Deuteronomy, which is referred to as the law or the second law, in chapter 29, Moses led us to these words from God. I led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes and the sandals on your feet did not wear out. You did not eat food or drink wine or beer, so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. The New Testament covenant, the reminder that I think often about, is the words of Jesus, where he said, I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I will never leave you. You know, it would have been so much easier for the Israelites just to travel straight east and to reach the promised land much, much sooner and without a lot of hardship and without a difficulties, just like it is for you and I to go out that front door and head west and go to Toledo Bend. But you know, with man, it seems that we expect things to work in the natural or the logical. But for God, He always works in the supernatural. So God may not always lead us in the nearest route, but He will always, always, always lead us in the best route. We may not know the route, the time, or how long it will take, but when we stay true to God during a storm or no storm, we can know this one thing for sure: God will lead us. Now, obviously, there are some conditions, and I hope you understand that, but I come back to the question, are we there yet? Are you there yet? I don't believe so. So remember, for God, the long way is always the best way. The promised land is still before you. So don't quit. And don't give up. Pray and trust. Pray and trust. Pray and trust your leaders, your pastor search committee, each other, but most of all, pray and trust God, knowing that when you follow Him, it's always the best route. Would you bow your heads for prayer as we come into a time of prayer? We're going to sing a hymn of response, Change My Heart, O God. And maybe there's someone here today who has never truly trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That maybe you don't fully understand what it means to be a Christian. That you've never reached a point where you admitted to God that you are a sinner, that you believe that He, Jesus, died on the cross for your sins, and that you can receive forgiveness of those sins, repent of your life, and have the assurance that you will have abundant life here on this earth and eternal life in heaven. If you have never reached that decision, never by faith trusted what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you for your sins, then maybe today this hymn of response is that your heart will change from not believing to believing, from not trusting to trusting, from not having faith to having faith in the very one who can save you and redeem you from your sins. But probably in a Sunday morning group like this, most are believers. Most are Christians. I don't ever assume that. That's why I always want to give the plea for anyone to be saved. But maybe it is that you have identified yourself through this transition period, much like the Israelites, that spiritually you have become weak. Spiritually, you have become impatient. And maybe even you have forgotten that God is leading and God is sustaining you through this transition period. And maybe God is saying to you this morning, your heart is not in the right place. Your heart might need to change. And so maybe you spend this time in prayer. Maybe there in your pew area, maybe up here at the front in the altar area. But whatever it is, let us all be reminded with this great spiritual truth. God will always lead the faithful. Father, I pray that you would take these words, and where I am short, where I am empty, that your Holy Spirit will divide truth into every heart that is here today. Father, use this time to bring honor and glory to your name and your name alone. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.